This is Latour Retirement Talk with the team from Latour Asset Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Joe Latour, Josh Latour, and Jim Margraff provide their clients and prospects the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful strategies to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now here is Latour Retirement Talk.
Welcome to Latour Retirement Talk. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I'm here with our host, the man with the plan. You know it's going to be a good show because it's all on Jim Margraff's shoulders. Jim Margraff, our host with the most today, ladies and gentlemen. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Obviously, I'm going without my sidekick today, so you know that's it's going to be a great show, you know.
It is. There are many reasons why Jim and I are not happy with Josh right now. We love Josh, but it's hard to love a guy right now who's at a place.
Not today.
He is able to, although we love doing the show, we're going to have fun here without him. But I think we'd all rather be where Josh is on the slopes at Park City. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been skiing since I was about 8 years old.
Yeah.
So,
your dream that whole time is to do what?
Go out to the Utah where he's skiing now.
Ski Park City.
Yeah.
And that's a dream. You've never been able to do it. And Josh is there right now saying, hey, you stay back at the office and do all the work. Right. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to check off one of your bucket list items and go skiing at Park City. Yeah, we're going to have to talk to him about that. And you know what? When he said that, you should have said, Josh, is that what Christ would do? Would he leave me behind right now? Seriously, we got to get some guilt in there for Josh, right?
Yeah, I know he's packed his ski bags and all that stuff, but we need him to pack his guilt bags.
Yes, that's right. Pack the guilt bags, Josh. We'll make sure of it.
We'll send you on a guilt trip here.
Yeah, which is also not very Christ-like to make him feel guilty about his own fortunes. But anyway, we kid. Hey, if you can't kid Josh Latour, who can you get kid, right?
I mean, you see, the thing is, Tony, on a regular, everyday, all day basis, I get it from him. If somebody's saying something in a multiple person conversation, I've got I'm on a track that I'm going on for, you know, a client, whatever, and he'll take whatever I've said, he'll misconstrue it on purpose, he'll misapply it and somehow use it to give me a hard time. On a regular basis. I mean, it's just nonstop. So I have to get my digs in whenever I can, whether he's here or not. Now, you and I did let him know last week when we were doing the show that we were going to pick on him, because not only is he gone skiing this recording, but the next one as well.
Yeah. See, two in a row. That's too much. And so, we're going to give the red-haired wonder a hard time, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, he's something else. And they're taking the whole family. They took the infant too, right? They took Miles?
They took him. And they've got, you know, his sister, his parents, Courtney's parents. They got the whole family going out there. And so they're all having a blast.
Now, I'm sure they are. Yeah.
They actually debated about whether or not they were going to try to get Miles on something on the snow. But they're going to wait just possibly one more year. They need him walking before they put him on skis.
I mean, he's not walking yet. What are you going to do? I mean, you can pull him on a little sled or let him sled down a little tiny hill, but you can't put him on skis.
I'll tell you what though, that kid definitely prefers being outside. They'll take him for a walk. You know, it's been freezing cold here, a lot colder than normal for us in Missouri.
Yeah.
And, they'll take him outside in the cold. He loves it. He's fussy. He's messing. He's not happy. Put him in a stroller, take him outside in the cold. I mean, the kid is ready to go skiing already because he loves the cold air and being active. Nice. So there you go.
Yeah, good. He's a chip off the old block, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I know you and Josh have been friends for a long time, so you're allowed to give each other a hard time, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've known Josh since, he was a little kid.
Yeah, you two have been friends a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there is quite a bit of an age difference between us, but still, I mean, I've been friends with Joe and Darla and their whole family and for decades.
Right. I mean, obviously, we can tell there's an age difference. I mean, on one hand, you've got wisdom and maturity, and on the other hand, you have Josh, and I'm teasing. See,
it comes out natural.
It's a moral imperative that we tease him. We told him we would. This is what he gets for being gone 2 weeks in a row. If he listens to this show or has friends listening, and he has people that will listen and report back to him, and maybe it'll make him think twice before he misses the next show, right? He'll just shake his head and continue with his life. But we're going to have fun today. I mean, you've got a great one. Sometimes we need to look at the basics, and I don't think people realize, if you said, what are the five most important things that you need to plan ahead for and be prepared for in retirement? I bet people wouldn't list or think of right away these five things. They might get a couple of them. I bet they'd get two, maybe three, but there's probably a couple big surprises in here, and the reasoning behind it might be a surprise to a lot of our listeners and viewers, unless they've already gotten a plan from you and worked with you at Latour, then they hopefully know these things. But sometimes we forget and need a reminder, even if we're in retirement, but especially if you're within 10 years of retirement, this stuff is so important. We're going to talk about the five pillars for retirement.
Well, Tony, when we're talking about retirement, a lot of people get stuck on just two or three topics, like you started out saying here. Yep. A lot of people get stuck on, okay, so how do I invest? How do I worry about my income and retirement? And for those that are the best savers out there, that's actually kind of a hard topic a lot of times. How do I start taking from those funds when I've been putting it in there my whole life? It's kind of tough to switch that habit around. And then, we got to talk about to do with healthcare. So for most people, that just involves Medicare. But there's more to it than that.
Yeah, so, there is. And for some people, it's like, okay, I know I need to know how much I need to have saved before I can retire. So I need to know when I can retire, how much I need to have saved. I need to know that date. So the amount I need, the date I need, and is it going to last? So, when do I file for Social Security? So a lot of people know that they need to figure that out. And a lot of people think they know when to file for Social Security, but they don't. So this is important. There's a lot more to it that you just listed there. Where do you want to start with which pillar?
So I actually want to start. I'm going to start with one we haven't mentioned yet. And it's a big one because it affects so many people in ways that it catches them by surprise. And this is one, I'm going to jump into it, tax planning. Because here's the thing, you can have the best earners out there. You can have the ones who have saved a lot. They have a large IRAs. But what happens with regards to taxes? Because Tony, it's not about what you make, it's about what you get to keep. And we have this silent controlling partner on all of those pre-tax dollars. And if he wants a bigger piece of this, of those dollars, all they got to do is change those tax brackets around a little bit. And all of a sudden, we just switch from, maybe I have an effective tax rate of 15% and they change it. Now I'm at 25.
Right.
And that means that all of a sudden, I don't get to keep as much of what I thought was my money. Oh, wait, I've got Uncle Sam over here that's taking a bigger piece of it. The more you have saved, the more important tax planning becomes.
Yes.
So
obviously,
yes. So as I talk to clients that have a higher and higher net worth, so the higher the net worth, the less concerned they are about the investment returns and more about how much they can save on taxes, because that'll take a bigger piece, a bigger chunk out of their savings, their retirement savings, than a lack of investment returns for them. Because those investment returns, those change year to year because of the volatility of the markets. But taxes, I mean, that can just hit you year after year after year. And so planning on those tax savings, how do we save? Because, you know, we're not going to get rid of taxes 100%.
Right.
But how do we minimize those in the best way possible for us as we're moving into this stage? And so, you know, we've talked about the Roth, doing those Roth conversions. It's an awesome thing. I love it. There are some considerations, some things we need to think about along the way. And there's some planning involved. We use some strategic software that really helps us narrow down how do we do this conversion. Because I don't want to, if I have $1 million+ in pre-tax accounts, I don't want to go ahead and convert that all at once. It's going to throw me into the very top tax bracket and I'm going to lose too big a chunk of it to taxes. And that's what we're trying to not do. So we're going to use some, we're going to do some planning here to how many years should I do that conversion over? And I got to bring into the conversation here though, things like Medicare, because on your Medicare, we have those IRMA charges that's going to increase my Medicare payment if I'm doing this at the wrong time or it's too much. Sometimes we still want to go ahead anyway. It depends on the situation, but we want to look out, how do we do this in the most efficient manner possible to save as much as we can on those taxes?
Yeah. People don't know. They think, well, I don't need to worry about taxes in retirement because I'm no longer working. I will be in a much lower tax bracket. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the case. A lot of people might be in a higher tax bracket even. So taxes are one of the biggest expenses in retirement, aren't they?
They are. When we consider how the stock market returns have been going over the last number of years here, I mean, we've basically been in a bull market since 2009. We've had a couple of years where it pulled back a little bit, but the market has given us some amazing returns and people are ending up in with higher account dollar value in those accounts than they anticipated. Yep. And those required minimum distributions are hitting harder and putting us into a higher tax bracket than what we originally thought. And so we're not ending up in a lower tax bracket. We're actually ending up in a higher one than we had when we were working. And so, you know, looking at all these things is something we need to pay attention to. And I want to throw one more thing in here. If you're a business owner and you're getting ready to sell your business, we want, and particularly if it's a higher value on that business, we need to look at what can we do here to save on taxes on those as well. We need to, there's something out there called a structured installment sale. We help our business owner clients with that to get that taken care of for them. So, you know, this is something that is very huge. I mean, really massive tax savings for somebody that's looking to sell their business or a significant real estate investment, things like that, as they move into their retirement years.
What's the next pillar? So tax planning is the first. What's the second?
So we're always looking at our investment planning. And one of the big things I want to bring up here is how much risk are we comfortable with at this stage of life? Because when I was in my 20s, 30s, 40s, I was much more comfortable with a lot higher level of risk. One of the things that we do is we call our color of money risk analysis that we go through. It gives us a score at the end on a scale of 1 to 100. How much risk am I comfortable with? And the issue here, Tony, is that as I move into retirement, if I'm still invested the way I would have been when I was in my 40s, now if the market goes against me, it's going to hurt a lot worse than I thought it would have because I'm now depending on these dollars to maintain my standard of living. And so by changing the risk on those investments, it gets me into a much more appropriate investments for where I am for this stage of life.
And if you're pulling out on a consistent basis and the market drops, it hurts. So you have to have some balance as you go. You have to rebalance and realign your plan from time to time, right?
Absolutely. You know, this is why for our clients, we want to sit down for that annual review. And if there's any type of a life event, we need to sit down in between those annual reviews. Anything that changes in your life that's big, we need to go and change and or at least review the current plan. Does something need to change? Do we need to leave it alone? Is it a big adjustment, a small adjustment? These are all things we look at every time someone comes in for that annual review. And another thing I want to throw in here on when we're looking at the investment planning is what kind of fees are we paying? It's like an undercurrent. You know, it can take a little bit of those returns right off the table for us. So we want to pay attention to those as well on our investments.
And investments can get tricky. I mean, you can't offer personal investment advice here on the show because everybody's situation is different. But it is important to understand how critical it is and mm-hmm. how you need investment planning. I'm afraid that some people just, they're like, there are diligent savers. They've been good about saving their entire mm-hmm. working career. And they've yes. built up this big amount or a lump sum in a 401k usually or a 403b, some type of employer sponsored plan. Mm-hmm. And or an IRA, and they think, well, I'm going to use, I read about the 4% rule. I'm just going to take 4% right. Out of that on a regular basis, and that's my plan. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work. You can't keep everything at risk and pull 4% out on a regular basis and expect it to last. You might end up in a situation that it's going to deplete your money much faster than it would have, and you don't want to run out of that money in retirement.
No, you don't. And that leads us right into our next point, Tony, because we want to talk about the income planning.
Ah, so, I kind of jumped the gun there. That is income planning right there.
It yeah, it is income planning. So as we're looking at this, you know, so many people, they look at just the 4% rule or they look at some other plan that they have come up with. But sure. here's the thing. When I look at the amount of dollars that I need to have set aside to maintain my standard of living, I don't want that nest egg dollars to be on Wall Street's roller coaster ride. You know, when we go down to the amusement park here south of us in Branson, Missouri, called Silver Dollar City, it's a great one. But when you look at those roller coasters, who do you find on there? The teenagers, the 20s, the 30s, fewer 40s, even fewer 50-year-olders, almost no 60s, and just one or two rare exceptions do you get somebody in their 70s on there.
Right.
So the analogy holds true. I don't want the dollars that I'm depending on to maintain my standard of living on that Wall Street roller coaster ride.
And you're not saying take it all out of the market. You want to have some growth. I mean, retirement's a new beginning. It's not the end. You might spend 20 or 30 years in retirement. So you're going to want that compounding interest. Mm-hmm. But there are ways to balance and reassign some of those assets to get that steady income here and yet still have some growth over here, right?
What we're going to do, Tony, is we're going to separate the funds into two main categories when we're talking about the income planning and investment planning. We got that nest egg dollars. That's going to produce that income. Then we're going to have the cushion dollars, or hey, it's going to add some cream and some inflation protection. It's going to allow us to do the extras. It's going to allow us to take care of those emergencies that happen, things like that. So we're going to separate those dollars into two different categories and give them two different purposes for those groups of dollars, for those money, for what it's going to do for us.
You can't really DIY a good retirement plan because income planning can be so tricky and it changes from person to person because everybody's situation is different.
It's so vastly different.
Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about tax planning, investment planning, and now income planning. That's three of the five pillars. What's next?
Next is the healthcare. Okay. So when we're talking about healthcare, everybody goes straight to Medicare. Now, Medicare is important. I mean, we need to do some strategy as to what we're going to do there. Are you still working past age 65? Or are you going to stop working before age 65? So there are some different things that come into play. And we have a whole team here at Latour Asset Management that can help out with some of those things on the Medicare planning.
Right. And you have a Medicare specialist there that can sit down with folks and go over where they're at, what their doctors and drug needs are in retirement and find the plan that's best because you can get deep in the weeds. You know, Medicare is an alphabet soup, A, B, C, D, drug plans. Right. And then there's things Medicare doesn't cover, like hearing, vision, and dental. Your standard traditional Medicare doesn't cover that. And no Medicare covers long-term care. So all of those things come into play, right?
They do all come into play. And the one that most people don't think of is the long-term care. So that is something that needs to be addressed as well. And there are some different strategies that we can use when it comes to the long-term care planning. So yeah, come in, sit down, talk to our Medicare team. They can help you with getting those policies and things in place for you there. We need to look at the long-term care. And so that's going to the things that we need to consider on the healthcare side. Now, the next one is equally important, and that's the estate planning. Because, hey, we've got all these things cover what we're doing with our funds while we're still alive, while we're still in control of them. But how do we pass the funds that are going to be left over to the next generation? Because I don't know about you, Tony, but I really don't want to hand it to Uncle Sam. I really don't want to go with Uncle Sam's plan that we call probate for the remainder of my funds. I really want to have my plan in place, and I want to have those funds go to my kids, my spouse, my kids, or whoever I want to. Maybe I have charities and I want it to go there. So we need to get that estate plan in place as well. So we're talking about a couple of things with the estate plan. Number one is beneficiary forms. Every account that you have had better have a beneficiary form on there. The issue is people say, well, I have a wills and trusts. Well, beneficiary forms supersede wills and trusts. That's been all the way to the Supreme Court too many times to even bother trying to get it contested. So beneficiary forms need to be in place. Then that those wills and those trusts, is particularly if I have a more complicated situation, and especially if I have, let's think of special needs, or I want some type of a control of those funds after death, all these things come into play as far as how I position these dollars now for the next generation.
Yeah. Or you don't want to leave your estate or your legacy to the courts. Do you want all that money to go to attorneys, courts, and Uncle Sam, and then be tied up for a year? Or do you want your loved ones to get it right away and get the majority of it and be able to keep that and utilize it? So if you do the right planning ahead of time, like beneficiary designations, I want to add really quick, a lot of people don't know, my wife and I did not know this, you can put beneficiary designations on your bank accounts. You know, you have to go physically to your bank and fill out and sign a form there at the bank. But it's quick and easy. You just go in there. They give you say, I want to put a beneficiary designation on this account, this account, this account. They give you the forms, you sign them, done. It's really good. And if you have a trust and you want to leave those accounts to the trust, you got to go in and do that. And you can go in and change your house. The deed on your house can be left to a trust. You can do a transfer on death, a TOD or a payable on death, and then make it transfer to the, leave the house to the trust if you want. And it's, I'll tell you, it's a lot more inexpensive and pain-free to get a trust and beneficiary designation set up ahead of time than to pay the attorney to go through probate after the fact.
Yeah. A lot of times the estimate on the cost for probate is roughly 20%. And that's expensive. And it's time consuming. And it's also public. A lot of people don't realize that as well. So, you know, the beneficiary on that, that deed to my house, the title to my car, anything that's got a title, anything that has an account, everything needs to have a beneficiary form. And one of the things that we do in your review, we double check those beneficiary forms every single review we go through, because it's huge. Easy to change while you're still living, and a nightmare that has to be left to, that's left to your beneficiaries if it's done incorrectly.
Right. Yeah. It is incredible. So estate planning is a big part of it. And a lot of people don't equate it with an overall retirement plan or financial plan, but it really is. And it's a big part of it. And you even talked about two of the pillars, I think, deal with the two biggest expenses in retirement, which are taxes and healthcare.
Yes.
I think those are going to be people don't realize that those are the two biggest costs they're going to face, even with Medicare. Even with not working, taxes and healthcare are still going to be your most expensive things for almost everyone. You know, there are always exceptions to the rule, but they are going to be outrageous for a lot of folks. And the more you have saved, the more problematic taxes will be, as you mentioned. And I think a lot of people are in for a rude awakening when it comes to their healthcare costs in retirement. So I'm glad you touched on these things, Jim. Before we go,
let our listeners out there know how they can get a hold of you. You guys are offering a no charge, no obligation consultation. If you have questions about any of these pillars of retirement, finances, Medicare, things like that, how can they set that up?
You know, Tony, if any of our listeners would like a purpose built plan for you, just give our office a call. It's 417-641-3497. And don't forget, give our take a look at our website, LatourAsset.com. We have a lot of information on there, some blog posts on there, which many people will find helpful as well. But again, that phone number, 417-641-3497.
Pick up the phone, give these guys a call. That number, once again, it's 417-641-3497. And thank you so much, Jim, for having me on the show and all the great information. Listeners and viewers, that does it for today's episode of Latour Retirement Talk with our host, Jim Markgraf.
Thank you for listening to Latour Retirement Talk. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a retirement plan. For more information, please contact Latour Asset Management. Call 417-886-5724 or visit them online at latourasset.com.
Advisory services are offered by Latour Asset Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the states of Missouri, Arkansas, Texas, and Alaska. Insurance products and services are offered through Latour Advisory Group, Inc., an affiliated company. Latour Advisory Group, Inc. and Latour Asset Management, LLC are affiliated companies. All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.